Hey, everybody. Grab the popcorn. It is time for the Witches Movie Coven. Yes, we have extra props with us today. We wore our witch's finest because we are going to talk about my favorite movie, The Wizard. No, not The Wizard. The Wizard of Oz. This is what happens when it's live, Rob. I can't talk. Anyway, welcome, everybody. I am Patty Negri, your host for this witchy movie evening, along with my co-host, Heather Green, who herself wrote the book on witches in movies, which we're going to say every week because we all have it right here. Jason Mankey, also witch and author. And today, because our little Courtney is not with us, we have a very special guest, one of my dearest friends in the entire world, Witcher.
Richard Lyle Lillard.
Richard Lyle Lillard. One of my dearest friends. We just spent the weekend in upstate New York together, and it was fun just spending like 3 days with you. So I'm going to talk less and have everybody else talk more. But this movie, I'm just going to say, this movie is my intro to witchdom when I was a little kid. To see Glenda coming in on the bubble and the power she had and the goodness she had and the magic she had and the good witches and the bad witches, and they had nothing to do with religion. They were witches. They were the best. Yes, indeed. I did not put it on because there's just not a roof, but I have the entire pink witch, the Glinda dress. I'm working on arriving in a bubble, or definitively working on arriving in the bubble.
Sure.
So anyway, we have Heather, we have Jason, we have Richard Lyle, and myself, and you. Hi, everybody in the chat room. We are glad that you are here. We want your input on everything, what you liked about the movie, what you didn't like about the movie, what else you want. So let me turn it over, as we always do, our main historian, to Heather, to talk a little bit about The Wizard of Oz before we get into all of our thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, so The Wizard of Oz is probably hands down the most influential movie, witch movie, that we have in the U.S. It is, there are a lot of very powerful movies we remember, but this movie, I would argue without a doubt, is the most influential, not only on other witch films, but also how we view the fantasy witch. And I could give details upon details, and I go through it. If you look at my book, there almost every chapter has something about The Wizard of Oz in it. And it really, the most interesting part, it was this movie. Now, even though the bound books came out decades before that and were insanely popular, he tried, or actually is a more complicated story, but there are earlier versions of The Wizard of Oz, but every one of them failed. It became box office poison. So the fact that they picked up this movie, that MGM picked up this property to do it, was a big risk. And the only reason they did that was because they wanted to compete with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the success of that movie, which was 1937. Everybody was looking for a property to do what Disney had done. MGM picked this one up, right? They were taking a big risk because decade after decade, attempts had failed miserably to make this into a successful film. In 1939, it was not successful either. It was marginally received. Too scary for children, too silly for adults. And it wasn't until it became, it wasn't until it got to television every year on CBS and other networks, year after year on Halloween, that this became the legend it is. But its effect started right away. And I catalog that in my book. It's a really interesting story about how The Wizard of Oz became the behemoth of a cultural icon that it is today. That's my story.
That is a good story. So yes, again, it's probably the movie I've seen more than any movie in my entire life, because you watch it at least once a year, your entire life. Hi, everybody, check in. Okay, I've got trivia. We're going to go around and keep talking. But I've got some simple trivia to make you feel really smart. Okay, first, and I want you guys to fill it out, and then we'll let you know who's right or wrong. What state was Dorothy from? You got to know that one. We're perfectly quiet. What state was Dorothy from?
Oh, Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Thank you. And Courtney. Hi, Courtney. We love you. She's there. Esther got it. You guys all got it. Okay. What was the name of Dorothy's aunt?
Auntie M.
Very wow.
Sorry, I'm just excited. Just excited.
Emily.
Maybe this one's harder. What was the name of Dorothy's uncle? I want our audience to jump in. Courtney is missed. Yes, Courtney is missed. So nobody knows Dorothy's uncle. Okay, one of us want to say it? Nobody knows.
Henry.
Uncle Henry. Okay, Elzar got it. Yay, Elzar got it. I know we're a couple seconds behind, probably. All right, this is fun. Okay. If somebody doesn't know this one, you have to turn it off. No, not really. How was the Wicked Witch of the East killed?
Downing
Healthcare. The cell phone rang in the middle of the Wicked Witch. Of course, a house. You can't remember? Rayford can't remember? A house. A house fell on her. And those little feet and those little socks. My shoes. Yes, Dorothy's house fell on her. Okay, we're going to save more, so let's go on. But I just have this lovely little thing of stuff. From Robin on Trivia and Easy, Homicide by House. There you go, Homicide by House. Okay, this again, my favorite movie. Jason, you're always sometimes controversial with us. How do you feel about the movie?
This movie is the perfection. Every bit of this movie holds up. It's on in the background of where I'm sitting right now. I've been watching it all day. Everything about it is perfect. I can't criticize this movie. And one of the things that I really love about this movie is how timeless it looks. It looks just as good today as it did in 1939 when it came out. The practical effects hold up. I feel bad for Margaret Hamilton because of what she went through to make that scene in Munchkinland where she disappears because she had serious burns from that. However, it's such a perfect scene. The special effects are great. I can't complain. The music is so good. I grew up with this as a kid.
The only thing I could complain about, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The only thing I could complain about is that if Dorothy would have just put her dog on a leash, the whole thing could have been.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. You sound like a modern dog, but there's coyotes out there. Your dog needs to be on a leash. Oh my God, you sound like anybody at our puppy park in the neighborhood. That's funny. But maybe you don't need leashes in Oz. That's funny. Okay, so Richard Lael, other than the leash part, how do you feel about it? I know you've read the whole book and on your YouTube page where you do storytelling.
I do story time. I love these 19th century stories, but I love the film. I love it as a child. I was a little bit disheartened to find that the lion costume was a real lion, but I get it. It's 1939. Things are a little bit different as they are now, but I loved it overall. I really have to admit, though, I liked Wicked better than the original.
Wicked was totally different. Wicked wasn't based on the movie. Wicked was based on the books and then took a modern political take on the original books. So you get all of the details that you have in the books. The movie was totally a concentrated version. They pulled out from the story what they wanted to use a baseline, created a very binary story about good and evil, and got rid of the rest. It was done very well. It was tight and well done story, but it was not the story of Baum. It's a totally different story. It has a very different morality than the Baum books. That comes out in Wicked. That's also The Wiz. The Wiz was the same way. The Wiz was not based on the movie. The Wiz was based on the books, which is why you have more witches in them, why the witches are more ambiguous and why they are the way they are. Same with Wicked. Wicked does have a binary, but it's more complicated and it's not really a binary. It's Wicked does have good right and wrong, I should say, but it's based on modern political ideas and far more complicated and nuanced.
Right.
Very good. Yes.
Very good. I keep commenting, everybody. I want to see if people are like Team Wicked Witch here. I'm Team Glinda, obviously, but I think there's probably a good witch.
Glinda.
So you got Team Glinda. I'm Team Glinda, yeah. But every witch needs a team.
I'm on the wicked side. I'm on the wicked side.
Team Wicked Witch here. Wicked Witch.
No, I just read something.
No, again, green.
I just, somebody wrote in the thing, and I don't know if that's true or not, but holy moly, that the snow was made of asbestos?
Yes, because they did as best as they can.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, that is good. So yeah, these are early days of movies and TV, and we didn't know a lot of stuff about that, but that would be a trip. But just seeing, and somebody had mentioned there, when it went from the black and white to color, it was like, that must have been, wasn't color really new then? Wasn't that one of the first things out?
It wasn't. That's a myth. In fact, you think about it, 1937 was Snow White, and that was a colorized cartoon. Color had been around for a while. It wasn't regular. It wasn't every film, because you have black and white films going into the 40s, a lot of them. So it wasn't every film colorized. You had a little bit, but it wasn't brand new. A lot of people think it was the first color film ever. That's not the case. However, a lot of audiences aren't seeing color on a regular basis. And so that Technicolor is very striking. The way they did it, the way it was done, it's extremely striking and jarring. Even if it was done today with all of our color films that we use, it still would be striking because you're going from a black and white saying something to this color. And it was used purposefully. And it's poignant. It makes a statement.
No, yeah.
But it's not really black and white sepia tone.
Yeah.
Like when it came out in 39, it was sepia tone. When it was re-released, it came out in sepia tone. And then when it went to TV, it was turned into black and white. And I think a lot of us remember it. But if you watch it closely and think about the color that's being used, it streams on HBO Max, this message brought to you by Warner Brothers Discovery. You'll notice that it isn't black and white, that it is that sepia tone. And it's beautiful. And it's still striking when it goes to color, but it's not pure black and white.
Okay. The Wicked Witch had an army of winged what? Anybody in the audience?
Winged?
Monkeys! Yeah, of course. Oh, I love those monkeys. I must say, I did. I was born in the year of the monkey, and I've always had a thing about monkeys. So I love the monkeys, even though they were on the opposite team. Okay, a couple more trivias. How did the Wicked Witch of the West die?
She died of a heartbreak.
In one way, maybe.
In one way, maybe. Water crossed her teeth. Another classic scene. Yeah, it's melted by water. Okay, what gift of the heart would the Tin Man get? These are easy, you guys. What?
I have to add, though, that the monkeys are always strange for me, given my last name. I can't really always be on board.
A flying man here.
Yeah.
Did they call me monkey?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, you guys got it. Thank you, God. Yes, got a heart. How many times did Dorothy have to click her heels together to return home? How many times? Just click your heels. I always wanted to play Dorothy in a play. I'm getting some wrong answers here, unless my trivia. Okay, I got a right one. Twice. Click your heels twice. It wasn't the classic three, because pretty much everything in the world is done by threes, but it was just two times. Twice. Okay, everybody should know. What actress plays Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz? Everybody, what actress?
Liza Minnelli's mother.
Garland. The Godfather. Yes.
Caruso Balk.
Our producer, in a little secret message, he said it might have been clicking your heels three times. He might have given us wrong information.
Yeah, because she says, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. It's three times.
We had wrong information. See, that's how this stuff gets started. Rumors. But we corrected ourselves. Yes, Judy Garland. Okay. What child star was originally scheduled to play Dorothy instead of Judy Garland. Anybody know that one?
It's a drink, non-alcoholic. It's a virgin.
She was later an ambassador.
She was cute.
She's very black.
Shirley Temple.
Hi, Temple.
Well, Shirley Temple. But I don't know that anybody could have done what Judy Garland. I don't know, Toto, her little, her voice, her everything. All right. Okay. At the beginning of The Wizard of Oz, to whom is the film dedicated?
The Virgin Mary.
Who is it dedicated to? Anybody remember?
Pink Floyd.
Yes. No.
No.
Young at heart. Which makes me very happy. Children of the World is a very nice answer, but it's wrong. It's the Young at Heart. The Young at Heart. Okay. Who did Margaret Hamilton play?
She played the housekeeper on 13 Ghosts.
It's good to have you here, Leo. Of course, she played the Wicked Witch of the West. Okay, well, go on.
There was a question that came up through, and it's passed by quite some time ago. And so I think it was something about the green skin, and I just wanted to answer the question. It went by pretty fast because we were asking questions, but I think it was, did the green skin predate The Wizard of Oz? And I'm going to answer that question definitively in terms of film, and that is absolutely not. And so the question here is coming up on the screen now, so I'm just going to read it real quick to make sure I'm answering it. It circulates in the 90s about the character of a woman who... Okay, so I did some research, and that was one of the questions. I was curious about the green skin. Why is it that we see today that green skin is associated with... And this, my hat and my headphones are all moving around, sorry. So why do we associate that? And I was hoping to find something that would call, why was she, did she have green skin? Is there historical precedence for this? Or at least in film, because I wasn't studying prior to Hollywood. And there is not a single witch in Hollywood prior to this movie that has green skin. So why did she have green skin? That's the next question. So in my book, I talk about it. I often talk about it in things because it's a neat little story. Basically, when they did Technicolor, they were doing a test of her costume, which was a jet black dress, jet black hat. Okay. And so when you had in Technicolor, when they did the test, they had the black here and then her skin and then the black hat. And what happened was in Technicolor, it looked, because of her skin color and because of the black, looked like her head was floating, created a line here. It was a technological problem. And so the only way to fix that problem was to change the color of the dress or to change the color of her skin. So they made it green. So they coated her up with green makeup and made her skin green. So that's why she has green skin. It isn't because of some legacy. It isn't because of some historical reason. They needed to change her skin color to meet the cost so the Technicolor would work. It was a technological problem that they solved with green skin. Why green? My argument is that was the same period of time that Universal Studios was making horror films. They were very popular. You had Frankenstein. Frankenstein was a monster. That was a green skin monster associated with green skin. Green skin is also associated with the sick, with evil, with something we don't like, something that's going to make us disgusted, especially in skin color, greed. It has that kind of connotation. They chose green. It makes sense. So really what's happened is we have, and this is one of the legacies of the movie, we have created, this film created a legacy of what we consider a witch. Witches have green skin, all because of a Technicolor problem.
That's amazing. I had no idea. And somebody wrote in, I wonder if the green screen was used back then. I wouldn't think so because it probably hadn't been invented because that's kind of technology.
Computer.
And if green screen had been invented, that means her face would be whatever else they were putting on it.
Yeah.
And not her face. But that's a good question.
Y'all, I have to take this off because my headset keeps falling. So sorry, I can't keep this on.
All right. Two more questions.
In the book, she wears...
Two more questions. What was Dorothy's last name? Anybody?
Gail.
Clutterbug.
Yeah. Gail. Dorothy Gail. And last one.
From Kansas.
What was Toto's real name? Anybody know? And I know there's a nice story attached to it, too, from Rob, that the Toto's real name was Terry. I don't know if that's fine. You can know anywhere. And Terry was some kind of like a rescue dog, I think, because it couldn't be potty trained correctly. And then look, ended up a movie star.
And is buried in Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
That's awesome.
No, is it? Or there's a statue. Yeah,
he's the only non-human to be buried at Hollywood Forever.
Because I know for a while there is a statue, but they wouldn't let him bury. So there is a statue, but not.
Maybe that's what it is. No. I remember the statue. I might be misremembering, but I remember remember the monument.
Yeah, it's a beautiful monument. It is a statue, but no body. No body of Toto, because he was buried in a house that is now the 101 freeway. I'm Toto forever. We drive over Toto forever. That's perfect LA. The 101, you go
the
slow.
Street, the road should be the Toto now, right?
The Toto. I like your cat, Jason, your beautiful cat. I don't know where my cat is.
I'm sorry that I co-host tonight.
No, my wife. What is your co-host's name?
This is Summer. We've got her on Midsummer. So her name is technically Midsummer, but we had to give her a nickname. So now she's just Summer. And my wife is out of town, so she's extremely needy because it's her cat.
I don't know where my little Gracie is. But for all of you, I'm not going off track, but I'm totally going off track. You know how envious I was of your beautiful Black Phillip, Jason? And upstate New York, I got me a Black Phillip. Of the 200,000 toys, my plushy toys my dog has, she went for this one and she ate his eye out. And my husband glued it back on crooked. So now it's all crazy ready? Eyed Black Phillip. One goes up and one goes down.
If our Black Phillips meet up, at least we'll have a way.
We'll know which is which.
You know, tell them.
But I will tell you, yes, it's beautiful. And he's got glue all over him. He looks like he's getting glaucoma because super glue. He's sticky. But he makes the really best headrest on a plane. He truly makes the best headrest on a plane. I used him for two flights back.
There's Toto.
In memory of Toto. All right. Awesome. That is good. All right. Before I totally put the rest of my Glenda outfit on, we don't even have to do how many wands. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the different scenes. As a kid, I wanted to live in Munchkin Land. I did. They were the cutest little things. They sang, they danced. What's everybody's thought about the Munchkin? Now, I don't even know if you could do that. If you could have a Munchkin Land of little people, would people think there was something wrong with that? I don't know.
Having been in a Wizard of Oz production in the second grade as a Munchkin, I don't ever want to go back to Munchkin Land. Learning those dances was too hard on me as a second grader.
Step.
So, you know, I'm happy for the experience.
I was a Munchkin in rendition of The Wiz. So, yes, I was. That is one of my legacies. So I was probably the lightest skinned person in that performance, because if you understand The Wiz, it was an all black cast and it was an all black musical, which is part of its legacy and purpose. But I loved the musical so much. So I auditioned and I probably was 5 and I was a little Munchkin. So I got to be a Munchkin when I was young, too. But I was in The Wiz and I loved it.
I did not get to be a Munchkin. I was much too old. But when I danced in the ballet many years ago, I got to be tree fairy, because the trees that throw the fruit at her.
Apple.
And I have to tell you, it was not all bad, though, because it was in the ballet and we did this ballet for it. And the best part about it being a tree is the constant wood.
Put a bump.
Fuck.
I need to carry a snare drum when you come on, Richard Lyle.
Yes.
I need to borrow one from my husband. Okay. Whoever, Happiness Bianca, stop soliciting readings. We don't do that around here. We love you madly, but stop. We don't solicit reading.
I think that one is not because they just, she just went to Robert as well. And it's the same thing.
They're soliciting readings to everybody and anybody. Stop that. Or we'll have to block you. Or we're going to block you anyway. Thank you, host. That in the Rent-A-Girl section. Anyway, we love live.
I have a question. I have a question for Heather. We were talking about the green skin. In the book, they say that witches wear white. And a lot of time looking at old postcards of Halloween witches from 1900, 1910, witches didn't always wear all black. There are pictures of them in red, pictures of them in blue. Is the witch black uniform also a legacy of the Wizard of Oz?
That actually is not. They were borrowing from, that started actually with the cartoons of the 20s. So before the cartoons really got popular and got started in the 20s, in the 10s, it's mostly black and white cartoons. And so you're seeing, and they weren't popular. That was a very new thing prior to 1920. And most of the witches in that earlier period were either Salem stories, or if you had mystical witches, they were what I would call patchwork witches, or what I call clown witches. They most likely were very colorful costumes, like your hat. And they weren't very much like what you were seeing. I call them Victorian clown witches. They had collars. They looked like Mother Goose. They had patchwork. They were very colorful. They could be any color. It was in the 20s where you start to see what I define the Halloween witch, the classic Halloween witch, the black dress, black hat. No, those were also black and white cartoons. We could only surmise that they probably were black. They were black in the cartoons or very dark gray. And it was a very stark outfit, like you see. So the Wizard of Oz was borrowing from this legacy that the cartoons were setting up in the 20s and in through the 30s. So if you watch Toby the Cat or you watch, Toby the Pup, Phyllis the Cat, Betty Boop, all of those early cartoons, the witches are more like witch in the Wizard of Oz. She was not the first one to do that.
I like how you just list things that like none of the rest of us
have. I know, how did the brain?
You know, Basin.
Okay, but Heather, you
just
know,
call me Cliff Clavin. I'm good. No, that's a
good
reference there.
Didn't have somebody concerned about your clown doll, Heather? Is that a haunted clown doll, or do you have a story behind your? One was distracted.
Nobody.
Amber.
Where is my clown? I have to do the right pointing here. There he is. So there is the clown was given to my children when they were very little, and now he terrifies them. So he lives in my office. He is trying to become haunted. He's working on becoming haunted. He's not quite reached the age yet where he's going to start walking around, but I'm waiting.
Okay, working on it.
Hammond, I got haunted dolls over here, which aren't on camera. So I'm waiting for the first one to start. I've got dolls over the house. So just wait. One day I'll have a co-host.
Belle's been pretty quiet lately because I've smushed her to the back, but yeah, everybody needs a haunted doll. I'm just saying, go with a good haunted ball versus
one
for energy.
Yeah, you're kind to them. There's a great Japanese culture has great lore about haunted dolls. So if you're going to be good to them, they're going to be good to you. It's a very basic concept. It's an exchange of energy. So I figure I'm good to my dolls. So they're going to be good to me.
Okay. Somebody wrote. Thank God for Heather asking you, do you consider Felix the Cat a witch as they do with his bag of tricks? I never thought about it, but that was my favorite commercial between Felix the Cat and Casper the Ghost. And I never thought about us because Felix had his bag of tricks, just like we did.
I never thought of Felix the Cat as a witch. He was just a cartoon cat. I didn't follow Felix the Cat later. I watched the older stuff and I've seen other bits of him, but I watched a bunch of the old cartoons that have witches in them. So when I said Felix the Cat, I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about the witches that he encounters. So yeah, I don't consider him a witch. He's just up to his bag of tricks.
A bag of tricks. Maybe that's why I liked him. I like a bag of tricks. Thank you for bringing that up, both of you. Okay,
I was going to say, I can't, just to let you know, my chat's shut down again. It did it last week, so I can't see any of the chat. So if something comes up, if someone wants to ask me a question, one of you guys is going to have to put that, let me know.
Okay, we will, and we did, so that's good. How is the book different? No, I never read the book. Richard Lale, I know you recently read them. Is it very different than the movie as they usually are.
In my opinion, there's a similar plot. There's similarities between the two, obviously. I think it's a series of books. It makes it that you, if you were to do everything in the book, it would be a 10-hour movie. So it's similar. It's very close. But like with anything, you missed when it's translated. Nothing really ever translates from the page to the film. It rarely ever is one-to-one.
Malika, we're talking about the Wizard of Oz books, the original books, pre-movie. Melissa just asked. Yeah, I love the books. Karen loves the books.
I always thought it was crazy that the books were really an allegory for being on the gold standard. The whole political subtext in the books, Silver Slippers and Ruby, because that is another alternative to the gold standard. And now this parable that makes me think of William Jennings Bryan, who was in the Scopes Monkey Trial and ran for president a couple times. When I watch The Wizard of Oz, I think of him because I can't take away the political aspect of the original book. It's like always haunting my brain. It's just strange that's in a children's book.
Yeah.
Children's political.
Children's books oftentimes there are stories that are political, and it's oftentimes more for the adults than it is for the kids.
Yeah, and in the books, and I haven't read all of them. Obviously, Richard, you've read them all, and I've only read bits and pieces, and mostly the one I've read is the one that informs this film, because as a film historian, and the other difference here, and I like to bring this up, is that Bal was a spiritualist, and he also was very pro-women at a time when that wasn't happening. So his books also have his concept of magic and his concept and his treatment of the female characters and witches in this is clear that it's clearly very different than The Wizard of Oz, which was made during a code era film. A production code and censorship code that was written by a Jesuit priest and enforced by a Catholic layman that had a much different, like I said earlier, binary black and white morality really informed in the books. The books were really much more informed by Baum's spiritualism, his concept, and which informed his concepts of magic and what that was and wasn't. And that, of course, is witches too. So that's a big difference that you see between the two.
That's fascinating. Oh. So why don't we go? Do you want to finish that? Because I have some more.
Also, with L. Frank Baum, his mother-in-law was a woman named Matilda Jocelyn Gage, who was a well-known abolitionist and wrote positively about witches at the end of the 19th century and helped publicize the idea that witches were good and were healers. So I have always loved that there's like a real genuine witchcraft connection from The Wizard of Oz now to us because of Matilda Jocelyn Gage.
Him too. And he's actually on the, he's on the rosters as a spiritualist. And he was directly connected to her. It wasn't like just a marriage. There was interaction. So absolutely a connection. That's an important part of, I think, his story. He was controversial, yes, but he writes about it. There's an article he writes about how important religions based on nature are at one point in one of his articles. It's pretty cool. He's an interesting, controversial character.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Must read more. Yes, somebody's writing about the colors and the color schemes there, the ruby slippers. And yes, they were different, as we said, in the book. Winkies equal yellow, Munchkins equal blue, Red Faction, Emerald City equals green. Yeah, it was very colorful. What is anybody's favorite scenes or standout scenes? I think mine was getting up, the fear in everybody and trying to get up to see the almighty Oz, the great and almighty Oz. I was pins and needles by the TV like this as a little kid. Like this. And they saw it. That's my standout. Anybody else?
I was an odd little gay kid, and I was obsessed with the shoes under the house. I was obsessed with those sparkly red ruby shoes. I wanted those ruby red shoes.
Those were great shoes. Okay, we've got the Oreo scene. We've got a lot of people know the monkeys getting sent out. Yeah, that was a really good scene. The lion running down the hall. I love the lion. The Oreo scene. Every time I eat Oreos, which we now know are satanic because I read that somewhere. Oreo. I never watched Oreo, the old one.
I love, there's two scenes that I loved. First of all, this absolutely hysterical is the scene where the lion and the three of them were going to go to the witch's castle, and they're going through the woods and they're muttering to themselves. And then he runs around, he turns away and they catch him. And he's so terrified in that wooded area right outside of her castle. I always thought that was hysterical. That whole interaction with the three of them is great. My favorite scene, though, as a diehard romantic and lover of musicals, is when she sings the classic song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. When she walks out, I was transfixed. As soon as she walked out, she falls in the pigs. She comes out. She's wishing that she was somewhere else. And she sits and she starts to sing. I did not move. And I still, to this day, like, that is probably, if I had to pick one scene and say I want to watch it over and over, is when she sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I can't get enough of that.
Yeah, beautiful.
When they go to kill the Wicked Witch of the West, when they get into her castle, that to me is my favorite scene because it's so intense.
And when they're down?
The sets are so beautiful. Yeah, and they're like, they're hiding from the guards and when their backs are up against the wall. And as a little kid, it reminded me a lot of Star Wars when they're on the Death Star, because I was obsessed with Star Wars when I was 5. And it made me feel like, yes, I can watch an adventure movie because I'm not supposed to watch musicals, which is what the dummy felt like at the time. To me, so there's always a special resonance with that scene for me.
Wow. Richard Lael, do you have a favorite scene?
I did love the shoes. I really loved the scene where the monkeys flew. And I guess I have this thing about flying, because the other one was when she is on the broom, Surrender, Dorothy.
Yeah.
That one always fascinated me.
Or when she's on the roof. When she gets up on that roof when they're in the woods, and she gets up there and she lights some fire, Scarecrow, and she just lights him up. Woo!
She's got a sense of humor.
That is a scary scene. That is for a lot of kids, that just, they turn around, they're gone. And of course, when she comes up in the smoke in the middle of everything, every time she appears, she's just team Wicked Witch.
She steals every scene she's in.
She does.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's just terrific.
And someone says the bike on the storm too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I even when she comes in the opening scene and that music is playing, she exudes power, even riding a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
The bike in the storm scene's great too, because it goes straight from her riding the bike to her riding the broom. And it's a really good piece of special effects for 1938, 1939. And it really sets the tone even before you walk out to Munchkinland and see all the color waiting for you there.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I swear, every time I'm rushing in a hurry, I'm always doing that. That's like my theme song. Dorothy didn't intentionally drench the Wicked Witch to melt her, though, did she? She was putting out the fire on Scarecrow. Correct. Yes.
Right.
She probably didn't even know that would melt her.
No. Lauren loves the horse that changes color.
Oh, the horse of many colors. Yes. And getting all shined up. Never. That was pretty great. And somebody wrote how sad it was when the monkeys were tearing up the Scarecrow. Yeah, it was an emotional movie. I can't imagine that any of them thought it was too silly for adults or too scary for kids.
That was the general thought. And I'm going to answer the question that just came up about the ruby slippers. Why ruby? Because red was much better for Technicolor. It was going to be way brighter, way more shocking, way more fun for audiences. If they're going to get Technicolor, give them red slippers. That was the reason. The only reason. A lot of things that happen on screen that are so poignant are only done for technical reasons or by accident. So there's so many stories like that in Hollywood's history. It's fun to find them, but that's the truth there. Silver would have been as Fabulous. Fabulous. That's the word.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It looks like that. We still have a few minutes left, but it was a talk. The King of the Forest song was amazing too. Oh, yes. That was the music was great. I must say the songs, everybody's songs, everybody's music. Yeah.
I would like to show off my little toy that I've dug out, if you guys don't mind.
We would love that.
Because I say in my book that The Wizard of Oz, right at the beginning, the first paragraph, I'm talking about The Wizard of Oz in my book, because this was my favorite film. I always say it's my favorite film. Not my favorite witch film, my favorite film. This is the one that's in my heart, made me love movies, made me want to study movies and witches and everything. What I have here, look at this. Oh, an artifact. I hope everyone knows what this is, because my kids don't know what this is. This right here.
Is that this giant Lego?
Yeah, it's a giant Lego with a case. I mean, you used to be able to rent these at a store. Be kind, please rewind, be kind. Anyway, this is actually a recorded version of The Wizard of Oz, which is typed here, that was recorded in 1979 off of CBS when it aired, because it used to air in every Halloween on CBS or around Halloween. And my dad recorded it on our giant size VCR, cha-ching down, one of those, push the buttons. Anyway, recorded it with the commercials on CBS in 1979. And I watch it with the commercials. And this is one of my Wizard of Oz treasures, along with a number of other things I have, like my Oz scrapbook and my Mega Bloks Emerald City Castle.
You want to show your Emerald City Castle? It's pretty fabulous.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to pull it over. Because you have your toys right out there in front, don't
right
you?
I do, right here. And I'll gladly show them. Let's see your...
I want you to digitize that VHS tape, though. I can watch all those old commercials.
I would love
that. So good.
When's your birthday, Jason? Isn't it?
January 4th.
I might have that for you. I have a digitizer. Look at that. This is all them. And look at them over here. See that? And it's got a yellow brick road.
Wow. That is fabulous.
No, it's... And I have my salt and pepper shakers. Look at that, Patty. That's for you. Look at that.
Oh, look at... Yeah. Oh, those are so cute. You've got both the salt and pepper shakers.
I'm going to show my odds. Scrapbook, which is totally fun. This is mostly from the books and stuff, but it's really fun. So this is like nothing compared. If you meet some of the collectors, I'm always in awe. The dolls, everything. You just can't stop.
No, they're the best. I don't have some stuff that good. I don't have a VHS player anymore. I do, of course, have a Glenda and Wicked Witch Barbie.
I love that.
I have mini Barbies and I collect them. I have, this one was given to me by a client, a vintage Glinda music box.
Oh, wow.
And she sings and spins.
Is she spinning?
Only because I'm holding her, so she's not.
She's beautiful.
Isn't she beautiful? And that's all I have. But I like your salt and pepper shakers.
I don't use them. They're on display. They're too cute.
That is cute. All right. So you guys, we want you guys to know what other witch movies you want us to talk about, the old classics. And like you, Heather, I must say, it is my favorite movie, period. Not favorite witch movie. Always this was. Always, it has everything. It has everything.
Heather, do you have any idea how it became a Thanksgiving movie? Because when we were younger, it was shown at Halloween. And now for the 8 people left who have cable or satellite or whatever, TNT shows it on Thanksgiving. On that night instead of Halloween.
Give people something to watch that's not related to whatever else is going on. It's just something that's interesting to put on. I think that the only people who watch regular television now are older and they'll give older movies and stuff like that. I don't think there's any other reason, but I haven't researched or found any reason other than that. That would be my guess. They're looking for something classic to give people to watch that because they're with family, because they're bored, because it's probably an older audience too.
They do the same with The Wiz too on Bet every year. They play that on Thanksgiving. And I can watch both of them now because they're both awesome in their own ways.
It's considered a holiday movie, which is very odd. It's even odd that it's considered a Halloween movie. The only reason is because of the Wicked Witch. It's the only reason they did that is she's there. Oh, that's Halloween. Let's make it. It's not a Halloween. It didn't even come out at Halloween originally. So it's just because it's become, I think, a holiday movie, a family movie. And old movies are family movies. So you throw it around the holidays kind of thing. Doesn't have a Christmas tree in it. So they do it before that season
right.
begins.
And somebody just wrote a family film without religion in it, without them making a thing. There's a question that maybe you know. Psychic Godfather asked, how did they do the flying monkey scene picking up Dorothy? That the scene was priceless back in 39. Anybody know? What are wires, strings? I don't know.
I'm guessing. That's a really good question. I probably read the answer to it in one of my great books, and it wasn't a focus, so I don't remember. That one's out of my head. I am going to look that up, though.
I know how
to have that.
I do. Flying monkeys.
There we go.
They
always
were
the one with the answer.
They cast flying monkeys.
Yeah.
Why? They're extinct now, so we find them anymore.
Yeah.
I will get that answer and I will have it next week. How's that?
Okay, that is good. So along that line, somebody wrote Hocus Pocus talk about, we have talked about Hocus Pocus. Just the last couple of weeks, we talked about the new Hocus Pocus. I've talked about the original Hocus Pocus. So we need to move on to some other movies. And you can watch our last ones about Hocus Pocus. They are on Facebook. They are on my YouTube. They are on our Witches Movie Coven page. This is Grace and she's wiggly. So we're going to put her down. Bye-bye, Gracie. Well, so yeah, let us know what movies you want. The Amish Witch movie. Oh, we talked about that. The Witch, right. That's the Amish Witch movie, right?
No.
No, there's another Amish
Witch documentary that's streaming on
documentary
right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes, we haven't done a documentary yet, but maybe we'll get to it eventually. Yeah. But that's something that I think some of us just found out about recently. Yeah, somebody told me about it. It's been being passed around. It's one of those things most of us don't know about.
Is it about Amish witches?
It's about Amish people who do magic that we would probably identify as witches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we already did Witches of Eastwick, so you can watch all of that. Lucifer Rising. Yes, we do want to do television programs as well. And there's lots of television programs we could talk about. So just throw it up there. This series, Nosferatu. Oh, yeah. There.
Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm. I guess we are going to vote, though it's probably going to be unanimous. But before we wands up and wands down on Wizard of Oz. But wait.
And we're going to get to Harry Potter. We're going to probably.
We are going to get to Harry Potter.
Okay. For wands up, right. I'll put my hat back on.
Okay, wands up or wands down for Wizard of Oz? Wands up.
I left my wand in the office.
Oh, no.
Because I'm sitting in front of my bar.
Okay, yeah. Fingers up, wands up, drumsticks
up. A bottle of whiskey up.
Okay. Definitely wands up. No Potter. We don't know what no Potter. Up. Yeah. Anyway, before we go, everybody say where they can find you if you have anything coming up. Let's start with you this week. Jason, now that you're all turned around, where can people find you? What's going on?
You can find me with my name, Jason Mankey, or Ann Mankey, on most major social media platforms. I'm going to a private witch gathering this weekend, which will be really fun for Samhain. I'm sure everybody's got Samhain plans, too, that they'll want to share. I'm doing a public ritual in Santa Cruz, California, a week from Saturday. So it'll be after Samhain. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
The Ohio tour. Yeah. In December.
How fun. Yep. Let people know. Follow him on social media. Go to his website. Find Jason. Okay. Richard Lael, where do people find you? What do you got going on?
You can find me under thegentlemanpsychic.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everywhere fine Richard Lales are sold under Richard Lael Millard. Also, you can find me on the Face of Horror, and I need everyone to vote if you can. Go over there. You can click on my link tree. Just look for my name.
Yes. You're doing really well. You're doing really, we keep voting.
Yeah, I was, but I think I'm in number two slot right now. So it's tight. It's tight.
Okay.
I will not stand. Will not stand.
Yeah. Number two, vote for Richard Lael on the Face of Hugh. of horror. All right, Heather.
I am, you can find all my links and everything I'm doing at heathergreen.net. And I am mostly interact on Twitter. So find my Twitter handle and find me there. But I also am on all the other socials as well. I am for Halloween with kids. I am doing some fun kid things. Samhain is a private matter, so I'm not doing anything group this year. I also will be doing a public book signing at the Barnes & Noble Georgia Tech in Midtown Atlanta. If you're in Atlanta Metro and you want to come see me, buy my book, or chat about movies, you can find me. It's November 12th at the Midtown. Again, that's the Midtown Barnes & Noble, Georgia Tech. It is their final football game, so it's going to be crowded. It's going to be fun. Go Jackets. And we're going to have a really fun time talking about witches while all of the Yellow Jackets are buzzing around getting ready for their game. So that should be a fun time. And that's the next couple weeks for me.
Yay, that's awesome. Thank you. I am Patty Negri. You, of course, can find me at pattynegri.com. All my social medias, Patty Negri Psychic Media on Facebook. I'm actually verified there. Patty.negri on Instagram, because sadly, there's a lot of fake me's. If you get to it from my website, you will get to the right me, Twitter, TikTok, everything. If you are anywhere near New Orleans this weekend, we are got a whole 4 or 5 days worth of fabulous things. We are now with Endless Night Vampire, Father Sebastian. We are now also being sponsored by AMC Interview with a Vampire. So Friday night, I personally will be hosting and emceeing the Witch's Ball, the Mayfair Witch's Ball, Anne Rice story, coming up with a ritual for Anne Rice. And then Saturday, we have the Big Vampire Ball. And then Sunday, we have Babylon. So it's six of different events. But come on down to New Orleans. There might be a few tickets left, mostly sold out. But the Witch's Ball, come to the Witch's Ball on Friday. It's going to be amazing. Magic, ritual, dancing, good stuff. Love. I know I love the new Interview with a Vampire. Should we start a Witch's Note Vampire?
We'll wait for the Mayfair Witches when it comes out.
we'll wait for the Mayfair Witches when it comes out. But you guys, again, like us, follow us. I'm going to Massachusetts right after New Orleans. So anybody near Massachusetts, Massachusetts Paracon, it's called Mass Paracon, with Sam Baltrusis and all sorts of fun people. So you can see us all sorts of places, and we would love for you to. And again, we want you guys' input on movies, what you think of them. You guys are perfect in how you jump in here. So I guess we have one last thing to do, right?
Here we go.
Everybody join in, because we can hear you. One, we cackle. That should lay out. One, two, three. We're getting better all the time. Thank you for listening to the Witches Movie Card. That's a plank, man.